So in 1896, a discovery had been brought from Berlin to Egypt. It was a document called the Gospel of Mary, and it dated back to the 2nd century, right at the time the other Gospels were popping up. If you want to know all the reasons why it wasn't included in our current Bible, you can go on YouTube or check out my podcast, as we've been doing a whole series. This is part 3. And my case for reading the Gospel of Mary is this: if it doesn't help, just throw it out. But if it does help, it might be useful. In any field, what do they do when they make a new discovery? Tom, what do? They challenge. But if it's helpful, would they use it? If it was helpful, though. Yeah. So in most fields, they at least investigate it, right? All fields do this except for one: the church. The church never wants to change. The church has never liked change so much so that the literal symbol of our faith reminds us that when God came down to change things, we killed him. And if you say you would have followed him, I hope you are someone who does. Now that he is alive, very much alive, and still working in this very church that you're sitting in. Because the church is ripe for change. The harvest is here. And just at the right time, these ancient texts have popped up out of the ground to help us do just that: change. Picking up where we left off last week, in a scene that occurs after Jesus had died and the disciples were scattered, we hear Mary Magdalene's side of the story. In the disciples' fear and distress, they go to Mary, and her gospel says, Peter said to Mary, Sister, we know that the Savior loved you more than everybody else. Tell us the words of the Savior that you remember, the things that you know that we don't know because we haven't heard them yet. Mary responded, I will teach you about what is hidden from you. That is from the Gospel of Mary. Watch how it lines up with the Gospel of John at the Last Supper. Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 16, verses 12 through 13. Jesus says this, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you things that are to come. How does the Spirit work? Does anybody know? Through us, through people, is it not? Remember when Jesus was baptized, what landed on his back? It was the Spirit. The Spirit rested upon him. And if translated correctly into the feminine, this would be even more clear, but alas, it is not. Spirit wouldn't be he, it would be she. Yes, there's a mistranslation in all of our Bibles, and any scholar would come up here and say, yeah, he's right, but we're going to keep it the same. It would be she. Every time you read the word Spirit in the Bible, it's feminine. Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit of truth will come, and she will teach you further things, additional things, things that only she would know. And what do you know? That Jesus guy was a clever dude, for his parables were foreshadowing this very moment that we're reading about in the Gospel of Mary, that maybe Jesus did teach the woman who was scolded for anointing his feet something more. Maybe there was a reason that she was at the tomb when nobody else was. Maybe she knew something. When Mary was washing Jesus' feet, he had to tell his disciples, she's doing something for me that you guys don't understand yet. Which means Mary had an understanding that the disciples did not have yet. What will Mary teach further on that we may not have had knowledge of? The title, the subheading that the scholars give is The Ascent of Our Souls. Anybody think that's important? Everybody should. You all have life insurance? Do you pay that every month? It's going to run out at some point. This is the true. This is the true thing we need to be searching for. Jesus came and taught us how to be what? Born again, right? He taught us how to be born again, but we get very little instruction on how we should live day to day as Christians. What should we be doing? What should we be working on? In short, the Gospel of Mary is going to teach us how to go from being children of God. You know, I love my kids, but if they stay in this state forever, I'm going to lose my mind, especially with spring break, right? We endure the early stage. Why? Because we know at some point they will grow up. All for 2,000 years, God's been waiting. When are these kids going to grow up already? Mary's going to give instructions on how to go from being children of God into being adults for God. How do we do that? Does anybody know? Do you grow by reading the Bible? Do you grow by coming to church? Do you grow by praying and meditating? At first, the baby just drinks the milk. Then you introduce them to some food, and then they start getting teeth. You see, the nature of our food changes as we grow. So the Sunday school training we've had, at some point, will become boring, and you won't like it anymore. And you might stop coming to church and say, yeah, that's not for me. There's part two and part three, and I know them, so keep coming. This is around one and two in church. Part three is Bible studies and the like. So there's a time when the adult needs some real food. Otherwise, they won't grow. They won't be nurtured. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. He says this. He said, he goes to this church. Imagine Paul came here. He goes, and he says this. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. That's what he writes, the Corinthians. He wants to give the children of God, the born-again people, further instructions on how to be just more than infants in Christ. Which means if they weren't ready for it, and Paul said he wasn't going to instruct them, that means they didn't get it. Which means we didn't get it. It's not in the book. It's been left out. It's there only in hints. If only somebody would have laid it all out clearly in a book. You see, here's the truth. The early church was more focused on bringing everybody under the one Catholic church model. And in order to do so, it was easier to corral everyone under a simple belief system. Accept Jesus and you'll be saved. Be born again and you'll enter the kingdom of God. They were not interested in teaching anything more. Why? Babies can't fight back. Babies remain dependent. Babies stay at home. Babies are harmless and easy to manage. But God has a way of always getting what he wants in the end. When everyone is leaving the church in droves these days, now adults, they don't want baby food anymore. And it says in this text, children of God, you born again people who desire to find the narrow road that leads to the heavens, here are some further instructions. If you want to grow up in your salvation, as Paul tells us we should, Mary tells the disciples, your soul, it descended to the earth. Remember in Jeremiah it says, before you were born, I knew you, I formed you, I shaped you. Before you existed in the mind of God. You were a soul, and that soul descended to the earth, pure, perfect, and righteous. It was whole, just as Jesus was. You had no sense of who you were, like a baby in the womb of a mother. You were just a potential, a thought in the mind of God. But God desired that you would know yourself, that you'd become your own person. And here's the real gift, that God released our souls from his mind and allowed it to come to the place where people discover who they are. That's what life is. Because if there's an ascent of the soul, guess what that means? There was a descent of the soul. And as one lives and grows in this world, they seem to have forgotten where they came from. sometimes there's an inner calling in us that's beyond words, that seems to speak to us. It drags us to church sometimes, and it says things like, why are you here? Why are you doing this? What's the point of this whole thing called life? Have you ever wondered why? I'm going to tell you, it's so obvious that you sometimes miss it. But I'm going to echo the wisdom of the ages, that you are all here to know who you are and find your way back to where you came intact. Put all your agendas aside. Look at the plot line of human beings. They don't exist. In 1978, guess where I was? Nowhere. I literally existed in a place called nowhere. I didn't exist. And then the next year, I existed. And then at some point, I won't. I will just disappear. You can see God in that timeline if you step back. Immersed in the plot line, you'll miss it. As Christians, we believe that what has happened when the person dies, they've returned back to the original state, but not as an unconscious thought in God's mind, but rather as a conscious spirit who can serve in God's kingdom. Christ will say things like this, I want you to reign with me, that you are co-heirs. Babies can't be co-heirs. Adults can. In our descent and attempt at ascending, our pure and righteous souls that have come down from the Father's mind, they get a little dirty. My sons, Abram and Max, are masters of this skill, the skill of getting messy. And any parent will accept that that's part of the process. But all human beings, when it comes to our souls, get dirty. Because often the very reason we're here to discover ourselves and return back to where we came gets placed on the back burner. So what are Mary's instructions? These are for those who've been to Sunday school, who have a general sense of the Bible, who already are children of God. Do we meet those prerequisites for the most part? Good. Mary tells the disciples what Jesus taught her. That our soul's reason for being here will only succeed if we know the right way to do it. That the reason the disciples' faith were wavering when Jesus died was that they were still children of God. They were still acting like kids. They needed to grow up and become sons and daughters of God. So the first step in doing that, in ridding yourself of the dirt from the distracting ways that life can thwart our ascent, Mary first wants us to watch this, our desire. Desire. Can you all say that with me? Desire. What is desire? Desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something that doesn't exist yet or wishing for something to happen. You know what that sounds like? Faith. Do you desire God? Do you desire the ascent of your soul? To enter the kingdom of heaven when this short life passes? Then why are we waiting till we die? Start now. Do you desire to know yourself, to know God, and desire the teachings of Jesus? Or do you desire wealth? I do. That's why I come to church myself. Do you desire comfort? Yeah. Do you desire the things of this world more than you desire the eternal things? Do you know why Jesus said store up treasure in heaven and not on earth? Because when you leave this world, you will have one thing you can take with you, your desire. You will end up where you want, what you've been doing, you'll get. That's how fair God is. Desire can lead you to God, and it can lead you away from God. So each day, when you meditate, you check what you desire, see where it's pointed, and redirect it if need be. The second thing she teaches them about is ignorance. Can we all say ignorance? What is ignorance? It's a lack of knowledge, a lack of information, Proverbs tells us, seek wisdom, gain knowledge, learn and study from those who have the wisdom that can save your soul, and it wasn't a suggestion. Where can we find time in the day to do that? That's what everybody tells me. Sean, I'm just so busy, I can't. The average screen time for an American per day is 7 hours and 4 minutes, almost a full workday. These young people today, right? I'm not going to let the seniors get off that easy. According to Pew Research, seniors, and who do we think we learned that from? Seniors age 60 and older average more than 4 hours daily, mostly watching television. Another study shows that more than half of seniors spend more than 50% of their leisure time on digital platforms. You know what's on the internet and coming out of those televisions? Wisdom and knowledge. We find time for that, but it's the wisdom of the world. How much do we all know about what's going on in the world? Socrates would have our heads for this. We know everything going on, but we have no idea what's going on in ourselves. Climate control activist came up to me once and said, your climate is out of control. We project what's going on inside of us onto the world. So Mary says, work on this. And the way to do that is through wisdom and knowledge. We all say there's no time, but in reality, we just don't care. And it's okay. But we have to acknowledge that. Mary tells us you need to start caring. Watch out. Don't be ignorant. Study and learn. Feed your mind so that it does care about your soul. Help your soul ascend. The last thing she speaks to are the powers. What is power? Can you say power? Power is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Paul writes in Ephesians verse 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Where's the Wi-Fi? Can you see it? But it's all around us. Influence is the same way. There are cultural influences, cultural powers, there are political powers, economic powers, military powers. We call ourselves, in America, a world power. Why? Because we have a lot of pull, we have a lot of influence. What Mary wants to know is that these powers that exist like Wi-Fi all around us can push our soul away from focusing on why we are here, and that we will need to overcome them so that we can go beyond just being Americans. Scripture says there's no more Greek, no more Scythian, no more barbarian. I love my country, but at some point, I gotta identify with who I really am, a child of God. And move away from American dreams and into God's dream for us. These influences may sound appealing, but so was that apple in the garden. Mary says, don't be deceived. This is what Mary taught the disciples after Jesus died. This was her further instruction. And all I know is that at the end of the Gospels, all the disciples had given up except for one, and nowhere do we get any sense of what happened in between Easter and Pentecost, except now. Here in the Gospel of Mary, we see that faithful disciple providing them with the knowledge they would need to grow up as Christians and become the owners of their faith. This week, may we pay attention to our soul's ascent. May we grow up by directing our desire towards God, by moving from ignorance to knowing, and by not letting the powers influence us in ways that deviate our return back to God.